here to deliver good news. That's what we do every Saturday morning, and we're very proud to announce that Rosie on the House and its team of certified partners across the state are doing fantastic, serving you, the Arizona homeowner. And there may have been some confusion with one of our particular partners, Stampede Plumbing. Stampede Plumbing went through an ownership change. And at Rosie on the House, you can't have an ownership change and stay Rosie certified until we re-vet the new owners. Well, we've re-vetted the new owners. Stampede Plumbing, a member of Rosie on the House since 2006, is still a proud Rosie on the House certified service provider for you. Stampede Plumbing, running specials just for you this particular season. So if you need plumbing done, don't forget, Stampede Plumbing are still right there with you.
Back in the Farm Fresh Hour, we're talking salsa this particular hour because it is National Salsa Month. And in between the year 1988 and 1992, U.S. households' increase in buying salsa went from 16 to 32%. I think the big part of that, we had those Pace Picante, Get a Rope salsa commercials. I think that was the biggest driver. And that increase in anything else.
And that line, you know, made New York City.
New York City.
Eat a rope.
It was also in 91 that ketchup was surpassed by salsa as the number one commodity in dollar value.
As for an Arizonan, it should be.
Yes. Absolutely agreed. The word salsa is actually a Spanish word just for sauce itself, and its earliest recording in the Spanish culture was back to the year 1500. A couple salsa facts for you.
I love my salsa or hot sauce in general hot, believe it or not, to the point of starting to sweat. Many of us that might be listening know of the Los Dos Molinos. I want to give them props because that's an amazing restaurant. And by the way, when we open up again, you guys, first places we should go to is our independent restaurants and especially our Mexican food restaurants. Certainly, we can still do drive-through. And I have another favorite restaurant in Gilbert. It's La Rista. It's one of those New Mexico, Mexican-style restaurants, and you can order online and then go pick it up. And I've been doing that at least once a week because they've got some great salsa and some great hot sauces. And so, Ed, the one question we have to ask you as a chili farmer, had something, Romy.
I want to know what your question is, but I've got a couple very curious things about what Ed has said. And today's a very unique day. Now, he said he got really interested into the genetics of chilies and making his own and a thinner skin, so you've got more. Ed?
Yes, ma'am.
In your genetic research and grafting and development, is there anything you do special for the first Saturday in May? Because you know that's always the World Naked Gardening Day.
Yeah, for farmers. It wouldn't matter out in Cochise because some of you farmers are way the heck out there.
I saw a post today. My neighbor with big boobs has been gardening all day. I wonder when his wife will ever make him come put his shirt on.
So I didn't even know that that existed. Oh, that's too funny. So I have to ask you, Ed, what are you a cook? You're a chili farmer and you know salsa and you know chilies. Do you cook?
Absolutely. In fact, that's the fun part. We have these processing plants, and we actually cook in a large way in some ways. But one of the reasons that I have a small cannery is that I can take each individual variety that we've bred, bring it in here, and actually test the flavors. And then at home, every year, as you can imagine, we have, you know, many of the cannery owners and the managers, the general managers of many different companies come, and my favorite thing is to serve them a form of our chili, whether it's an enchiladas or whether it's in a relleno or a salsa. We feed many people a year, and I'm still kind of old-fashioned. We bring them right to the house and right at our kitchen table, and we pray before we eat, and we—that's just our our signature here. Yeah, cooking is fun, and using the flavors of chili are crazy. I mean, there is so many different flavors. It's unbelievable, and everybody thinks, you know, a chili's a chili, a chili, and it's not. There's many flavors, so there you go.
And as a, you know, an extraordinaire when it comes to chilies and salsas and stuff, so do you like your salsa hot? Do you like it medium? Do you like it mild?
I like a medium. We have changed the molecular component of capsaicin in a couple of our hots so much that it's actually kind of deadly. And if you really look up and study the capsaicin, it's a bit of an antimicrobial thing, as I mentioned earlier. And so the anhydros and dihydros, when you do the tests on the capsaicin, there's a lot of difference in how all of those affect you. So, yes, as for myself, I'm going to lean to the medium.
Mediums.
Just enough to add a little zest and a little zip, but not so much that it's crazy.
So Rosie has a question for you.
Well, when we had Ed on, when we were broadcasting out of the Southern Arizona Home Show, he talked about the heat of the pepper lives in the vein, and you could actually regulate the temperature of your cooking by maybe trimming a little of that vein. Well, I actually have found a couple very, very hot peppers I like the flavor of, but I just trim a little of the vein to cut down the heat. Ed, is I learned that from you.
Yeah, Rosie, that's exactly right. I mean, that capsaicin is typically formed right down that placenta wall, or what the common folks know as the vein.
And I'm a common folk. That's for sure, Sha.
So the bottom line is yes, Rosie, you're exactly right. You can trim that and come up with what heat level you want, actually.
I didn't know that. So on one of the salsas that you might be known for, what are some of the ingredients that you add to it? You don't have to give away any secret sauce if you have it, but I'm just curious if there's a favorite salsa that you put together.
Well, one that I didn't put together, but we've made here for many years, is the Santa Cruz. My friends at the Santa Cruz Chili, Bill and Jeannie Neubauer. Jeannie's dad was Jeannie England, and Gene developed this salsa many, many years ago, and it's a little product of jalapeno, carrots, there are several different things on the green. And the green, by the way, is my favorite. And they're actually, we don't actually produce that one for them here anymore. We do produce their base products here. And but that has to me, if you want a taste of Arizona, you buy a bottle of Santa Cruz chili salsa, and there's several different ones. There's a barbecue sauce, there's a mild, there's a medium, and then there's the hot green sauce. And that is Arizona to the bone. That's a Gene England product. When I was a young man, Gene took me under his wing and taught me a lot, and he was an amazing man. I loved how Gene went around. He started his business in his car, going around Tucson and Phoenix to restaurants and showing them his product, and one by one gaining it. It's such an old school format, but you know what? It still works because there's a relationship there.
And it is a good chili. It is so good. One of the things I can remember the first time I met you, Ed, is that, of course, you took us out on the farm. We saw the fields of chilies and all the work that you were doing and some of the plant breeding, and then you took us to the plant. And I just loved the smell of it. It was just made me feel home. It made me feel like this is Arizona.
Yeah, the smell. It's kind of funny. When we built this plant here, we had to have, for zoning purposes, we had to have anybody within a quarter or half a mile sign off that it was okay that we had the plant here. And unanimously, everybody was happy to have it because of the smell in the fall. So there's about 60 to 90 days that it smells really good in this part of Cochise County.
Yes. And then the plant genetics, we've kind of briefly talked about it in the first segment, but why is it such a complicated plant? I mean, it has more genetics to it than even some other plants. is there any reason for that, or?
Well, that's exactly right, Julie. It's for instance, cotton, corn, soybeans have been, you know, manipulated genetically in many ways, and they call it gene shooting, and they've been able to take genes from different plants and stuff and basically create. Some people think it's awful. Some people think it's good. I think in between there's some good and bad from it, but their genetics were very simple. Pepper is one of the most diverse gene pools that there is out there in the plant world as far as vegetables and even cotton and corn. But, you know, my favorite story is, and I think I said this the last time we were on there, and I as humans, we have some 20-something thousand genes that drive us, 21,000, 22,000, and pepper is quite a bit above that, and like in the 30,000 range. And it's just so diverse. And every country in the world, except for the North Pole countries, the Arcticas, have their own pepper. And typically in Mexico, if you travel Mexico much, as I have studying Chile, each individual, like there's a in Durango and Zacatecas, there's little areas that they have their own chili from years and years, hundreds of years of generation after generation selecting a certain type of pepper, not even really understanding base genetics, but just through visually looking at a pepper and crowding, almost like you would herd cattle and separate the black baldies from the Herefords, you know, very similar to that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And it's special that we can claim you for Arizona and that we send all your quality seed to New Mexico for Hatch Green Chilies in New Mexico. Where do you see the future in Arizona with chili development? Are you guys going to just keep at it hardcore like you are right now?
I'm 64. I hope I got at least 20 more years on me. I need to live to be about 150 to resolve some of the questions in my mind. And my partner Phil, who taught me this, felt the same way. And Ben and Everett, who work with us. But we have no intention of stopping. We love what we do. Holy cow! If you don't get anything from Ed Curry, you get that I love the Lord and I love chili. And boy, it's fun. What we do is fun, and seeing the changes every year is amazing.
Well, Ed, we really appreciate you sharing with us what you're doing with chili, and I am 100% convinced that that's one of the reasons the chili that we have here in Arizona is so good and such high quality because of you. And for our listeners, Fill Your Plate is a place to go if you want to search for salsa recipes, and also we have a few articles on our blogs. If you go to the blog, all you'd have to plug in is salsa, and up would come some of our salsa articles.